Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for MacBreak Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is MacBreak Weekly, episode 61, for October 9th, 2007. The Bouffant of Knowledge. MacBreak Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. For your free audiobook, visit audible.com/MacBreak. This is MacBreak Weekly, and with us around the table today, Scott Bourne is not here, I'm sorry to say, and it's too bad because he really should be here today as the iPhone advocate, because he would get to go neener, neener, neener to me today. Erica Sadoun is on the line also from the unofficial Apple web blog. Hello, Erica.
Hello.
She's also probably the foremost, well, maybe not the foremost, but has been very active in iPhone applications. You wrote, not only did you write the a really great one called SendTunes. Is it SendTunes? That allowed me to
something
use
like
something
send
like
songs.
That. Send songs. You don't even know. That allowed me to send some any ringtones to my iPhone's ringtone folder. Also email songs. But also she did a lot of the underlying shell utilities for the BSD stuff, which was great. Did you do SSH as well?
I did not. That was nerve gas.
Nerve gas. There you go. Oh, you know, you guys can't hear. Probably, can you hear Erica? Everybody here all right?
Yeah,
I can.
She's
hear
a little
her.
Low. Okay. So let's say hello to the other guys. Andy Anacco is here from the Chicago Sun-Times. Hello, Andy.
Hello, everybody.
I'm going to try not to whistle or annoy you in any way today.
You can stop whistling, but I hope you never stop annoying me, Leo, because when you annoy, you help the industry. There I said it.
This is going to be the Leo apology show today. Chris Breen is...
Leo Laporte, National Day of Atonement.
It's my Day of Atonement. It's the Yom Kippur of the Laporte House. Chris Breen is here. He is from, of course, Mac World Magazine, the Mac 911 column, and has written many, many books. His latest is an iPhone book.
Yeah, and I have to honestly, I have to thank Erica largely for that, because if it weren't for her screen capture utility that she allowed to work on the iPhone, I would have been sunk. I was looking at taking pictures of the interface, and I thought, no, I can't possibly. Steve could do it. I'm sure I can do it too. And Erica came up with the solution, and I am bowing in her direction as
I think speak. A round of applause in order for Erica Sadoun.
Oh, absolutely.
We're just really
well,
thrilled.
Well, actually, you need to thank my husband.
Why?
Really?
Because when I wrote it, I said to him, do I put this out there? Because, you know, I'm writing a book too. And he said, you can be a good businesswoman or you could be a good person.
Oh, so. Now that's a nice guy. And you did it. You were a nice person. Now, I thought the book was on hold after the bricking of the iPhone.
That's a different book.
Oh, okay.
The book that's coming out December 17th is from A-Press, and it's called Taking Your iPhone to the Max.
Excellent. Well, this is the person who should know how to do that. Also here for his the last time for some time, Mr. Merlin Mann. Hello, Merlin.
Hello, Leo. How are you?
Can we tell people why this is your last time for some time?
For some reason, it feels like you're Max Detweiler and I'm the Von Trapp family.
So
and you're about to announce
farewell.
This is the last time. I'll last time that he'll be performing for some time.
They've got a balloon. He's got a balloon out back, and will be flying over the border.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. My wife is apparently going to provide us with a daughter very soon.
Oh, now we know it's a girl.
Yeah. Well,
oh, how
yeah,
exciting.
It better be.
What name?
Oh, now you think I'm going to tell you that?
Oh.
No. Well, we were going to call her. It's pronounced Joan Bennett, but it looks like John Benet when you spell it. She's our little cowgirl. Well, that's private. But yeah, I'm kind of going to slowly go a little bit off the grid, and regrettably. Won't be doing MacBreak Weekly.
You will. You'll be back very quickly, and Erica, who has babies, knows. That you'll be so anxious to get back on doing talk.
I'll want the break.
You'll want to talk to grown-ups really bad. Chris Breen knows that too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Any minute now, you're going to be saying, I need to talk to a grown-up. So when is Madeline due?
Later this month.
That's exciting. Yeah. So now now we can admit it's official to everybody. We've got a bunch of babies. Oh, actually, I should add Alex Lindsay is also having a baby. He is not.
That's out?
I think that's out. Alex Lindsay, the official three, the Twit three are Merlin, Alex, and Patrick Norton. And I think everybody now knows about all of them. I'm going to see if I can add Alex. He said he would be in a hotel. He's probably, I don't know if he's available or not. I don't see him on Skype. Oh, there he is. Hello, Alex.
Hello.
Well, we do now. We have the largest panel ever. Alex Lindsay is also here from the Pixel Core.
And well, is one of us going to be the designated Scott to be a karma suck about the iPhone?
I will be, because I deserve to be, because I was the one who said Apple did it on purpose. And if they didn't do it on purpose, they could have done a better job not doing it on purpose. And I've been very whiny and vocal about it. And a lot of people have offered me cheese with my wine. And Erica Sadoun is here to say they didn't do it on purpose after all. That's what you posted today.
I don't know for sure.
No one knows what their real intent, because they haven't said a word.
I just think that if they were going to brick it, they could have done a much better job at it.
So they just didn't do it as well as they could have. Now, somebody said to me that, correct me if I'm wrong, that it was a buffer overflow exploit that allowed the phone to be unlocked in the first place, and that by patching that exploit, Apple bricked, but they had to patch the exploit. Is that accurate?
Not as far as I know.
That's what I didn't
think
it was.
The first jail locks were just emulating iTunes.
Okay.
iTunes used to be able to do all sorts of lovely things like mount disks, copy files. Now it doesn't.
Yeah, it really annoyed me, in fact, that I couldn't mount the iPhone and as I would with, used to be able to with an iPod.
There is no option in iTunes to allow you to get disk access now.
Yeah, that's too bad. Is that for all iPods now?
That is, to the best of my knowledge, for the iPod Touch and the iPhone, and is not exclusively, you know, it's not, it, whatever.
So, Chris Breen, you could still mount an iPod and copy songs over to it, but just not the Touch and the phone.
Yeah, as Erica says, it's the, you can't mount the iPod Touch.
That's really
the phone
annoying.
As a hard drive, yeah, but you can put the iPod Touch into manual mode, which is something you can't do with the iPhone.
Oh, okay, so you still do have that manual way to copy songs on there. It's very frustrating. I have to sync my iPhone to different computers depending on which songs I want to have on there. I haven't gotten around to moving everything over.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm keeping one of my iPhones at 1.02, right, strictly because there's this one really cool third-party app that lets you download podcasts directly.
Right.
And the ability to simply get airplane content on the taxi cab on the way to the airport instead of waiting there at the hotel saying, oh, please sync, please just sync so I can leave the hotel.
Exactly. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. So, Erica, how do we, what is the evidence that, what do we know about what Apple did? I think Apple's still to be faulted a little bit for not stepping forward and saying what their intent was. But let's read the tea leaves from what you know. And I think you probably know as much as anybody, except maybe the inner circle at the dev team, about what's going on. What happened here?
To the best of my understanding, Apple bricked as many, if not more, locked iPhones than it did unlocked ones. However, when people brought their phones to the store after a failed upgrade, the locked ones were given service and the unlocked ones were not,
right,
because Apple had posted that big thing saying, we will not, you know.
Now, how do we know?
Warranty is valid.
How do we know that the people bringing in the so-called unlocked bricks really weren't unlocking it? I mean, how do we, for instance, I have a friend, I won't say names, who did in fact brick his phone, foolishly putting 111 on it. So went back and went through a process of really bricking it badly. He reverted to 102 and then started the 111 upgrade again and pulled the plug halfway through the firmware. I mean, really damaged the phone, I think. Then brought it in and Apple said, well, you unlocked it. And he said, what's that? And the genius said, well, you know, you make it so you could use it with T-Mobile. He said, no, I don't have a T-Mobile account. I have an AT&T account. And the guy gave him a new phone. How do we know that that's not what's happening?
I really can't talk about people who use deceptive methods and so forth. It's kind of out of my territory of expertise.
So we're pretty sure, though, that a lot of real phones have been bricked, like unlocked phones have been bricked.
Katie Hafner of the New York Times has a 14-year-old daughter who had her completely unmodded, completely locked iPhone brick.
All right. Well, I trust Katie, so if that's okay. So that means that it just was a bad update?
I think it was a bad update. I have an unlocked phone, which obviously has been modded, but I never unlocked it, that was with an AT&T GoPhone account.
Uh-huh.
And it seems that GoPhone accounts were bricked more often in a statistical sense.
Right. But now, if for this to be true, the corollary would also have to be true that there were unlocked phones that were not bricked.
From what I understand, that did happen, yes.
Okay, so some people got away with it.
You can see on Engadget several firsthand accounts of that, yes.
Okay. So it's just a case of, what? I mean, my position was all along was that, well, Apple could have checked, done a CRC on the firmware or a checksum on the firmware, on the modem firmware and said, well, this modem firmware has been changed. We're not going to update. I mean, admittedly, they put out the warning and they don't have, how much responsibility do they have to tell people, but they could have done that easily.
Not a lawyer. And this kind of goes into lawyer territory when you start talking about defective upgrades, negligence, and things like that.
Oh, see, I have no hesitance in libeling people.
I appreciate it wouldn't be libel unless it's in print.
I appreciate slander. I appreciate your reticence, Erica.
We'll add it to the list of things you're atoning for, Leo.
I think this falls under the legal category under Title 7 of talking smack.
Talking smack. That's what I did. It was just trash talk. It wasn't wasn't slander. It was trash talk. So, Erica, actually, there is some good news for unlockers. By the way, I got an email from somebody who said, I'm now, since you seem to have no difficulty stealing from Apple and AT&T, I'm going to stop paying for Twit. Okay, well, you can have you can have your $2. I don't feel that I'm stealing from Apple by unlocking a phone. I paid for the phone. I'm not using AT&T's service, so why should I pay AT&T and anything?
To the best of my understanding, it is legal in the United States, at least until 2009, to unlock your phone and use it with whatever carrier you have.
I agree. And we've said that several times. So anyway,
I'm not a lawyer.
I'm not a lawyer either.
I don't play a lawyer on TV. I don't even do aspirin commercials.
Now tell me, Erica, what is the latest on unlocking 1.1.1?
There are about 3 unlocked phones, maybe 4 now.
Wow.
It is not at all clean. It is extremely hazardous to iPhones. But from what I understand, the people who are doing this are very optimistic that they'll get it cleaned up very quickly.
That surprises
me.
And
make a public release.
Because I remember your post where you were talking about the fact that it was digitally signed, and it would be much more difficult to hack and jailbreak
this
time.
Yeah, I was talking about mostly the iPod Touch.
Okay.
The iPod Touch is just fanatically, insanely locked down, which is, of course, why the jailbreak, even though the iPhone 1.1 upgrade, the jailbreak on that has been going for at least 2 weeks shorter a period of time, it happened first.
Right. So do we think we'll be able to get third-party apps on the 1.1.1 release anytime soon?
Oh, totally. Yeah, it's there.
And unlocking 1.1.1, that's also doable? More difficult.
I can't really say about that because Apple is just kind of freakish with their baseband stuff.
Right.
And to translate that into English, they have made it less approachable. The part of the iPhone that communicates with the modem, that communicates with the cell phone network, it's not as easy to get there as it was.
Okay. And the baseband update was the key to getting, the firmware update. It was the key to getting unlocked.
And unfortunately, it doesn't look like the relock is anywhere near ready yet.
Okay. So it is a cat and mouse game. I had thought that maybe Apple won already, but it sounds like it continues to be a cat and mouse game.
I think the cat's tired, the mouse is tired, and everybody's just kind of waiting to see what happens with Leopard, which I really don't think will bring a software development kit.
Could But that's an interesting point. We'll get to that in a second. Couldn't Apple lock it down pretty solidly if they wanted to? Couldn't they use signing and things like that?
Yeah, it would be called the iPod Touch.
Yeah, well, why didn't they do that with a phone?
I don't know.
good answer. Good answer. So, I mean, that led some credence to the fact that they're not completely against people unlocking or adding third-party apps.
They are not helping us. Really, there's no reason that we should have gotten onto the iPhone other than the fact that there are a few people with a lot of PSP hacking experience.
Oh, interesting.
Apple did not open the door.
Right.
Apple does not want us there, and Apple will do everything they can to make sure that the iPhone and the iPod Touch are locked down and under their control, a la the other iPods.
And it's your instinct that there will be no SDK for the iPhone when Leopard is released this month.
You mean public SDK?
Public SDK. Yeah, obviously there's an SDK.
But there is an SDK.
Yeah, somebody's
it's
developing.
Internal. It's,
right.
It exists.
Right.
I doubt it. I can't say for sure. I'd be delighted, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Will you keep developing apps for the iPhone?
I haven't for the last couple of weeks. It's just kind of been, why bother until we kind of know which way we're going?
Yeah. No, it makes sense.
So, a lot of the other developers just basically are in a wait-and-see attitude.
Right. Guys, anything you would like to ask Erica? Since it's a great opportunity to talk to her.
I have a question about the root access on the iPod Touch. I read one of your entries on official Apple weblog that said somebody had gained root access to the Touch. Does that mean anything for us?
All it meant is that we can now copy the files off and take a look at them. There's right. No read-write access. There's only read access.
Okay.
That was the first step.
In jailbroken.
Yeah, that was the first step, though, I remember, to jailbreaking the phone, was getting that root access. That was huge when that happened. Same technique, or is it a different technique?
It is a different technique than I used to get to the iPhone root for 111. But it's the same technique that is involved in the jailbreak.
Interesting.
Erica, do you think that when these phones are broken for apps, do you think that it's going to be the same sort of interface and the same sort of installer platform that we've been using via AppTap?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
The jailbreak right now is hideously ugly, but I am hoping that something clean will come along. Obviously, AppTap won't work because the way AppTap does things now is it pretends to be iTunes. And it issues iTunes commands to the iPhone, and the iPhone says, oh, goody, I'm talking to iTunes, and then it responds to it. You don't have that with 111. Apple completely reversed the way that iPods and iTunes talk to each other. So instead of iTunes sending commands to the iPod Touch, and the iPod Touch saying, okay, I'll do that, there are now three commands, basically, you can send. They are hello, goodbye, and start restore. Mm. And that doesn't give you a lot to work with.
No. Mm.
But from a user point of view, do you think that the procedure, that once you've jailbroke your phone, do you think that the installer app that a lot of us are using right now is going to be the same basic installer platform
They're
for getting...
the installer app right now on the phone today.
Yeah, in fact, you've got pictures on TUAW. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which it made me feel really good to see that Starbucks Wi-Fi, Apple Wi-Fi store icon right next to the AppTap icon. I thought, yes. Was 111 a complete rewrite of all the software on the phone? Some people have said the 1.0 version of the iPhone was such a rushed hack job that they really, this 111 is really the way it ought to have been in the first place.
I haven't had enough time to really look in the frameworks and decompile them and, you know, dump all the classes yet, so I haven't really read through the frameworks. However, what I can tell you is that the frameworks, a majority of frameworks have been recompiled and are not compatible with 1.0.2. And the way I know this is that I put all the apps from 111 onto a 1.0.2 iPhone and then attempted to run them and saw where they failed.
Right, right.
So it's clear that a lot of frameworks have a lot of new functionality. There's a lot of rewriting. I just can't tell you exactly to what extent.
I don't know how you have time with a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old?
Four.
I don't have time to do all this, but I'm glad you do. And do you have any advice for Merlin and Alex?
Baby Bjorn?
Yes.
Yeah.
And drugs.
Drugs during delivery or after delivery?
Both.
My wife, God love her, she's been really reticent. I want to go to Costco and see if they have baby Benadryl in really large, I guess, kind of like, I don't know, like
it is. It's
cartons.
It's called Sleepy Baby. And
she thinks that's not a good idea, but I just want to be ready.
We actually gave our kids Benadryl.
Always consult with your pediatrician before administering baby Benadryl.
Try new cherry flavored Jackie Daniels for tots.
And you will actually get a better deal at Eckerd's and Walgreens than you will at Costco.
There you go.
Erica, you're full of caution and tips. You're ideal.
Isn't this great? We've never had anybody so circumspect on this show in a year of podcasting.
Scott was pretty close a couple times.
Yeah, well, he had that disclaimer he wanted me to read, but I only read it once. So,
what is the disclaimer? Can I have a disclaimer?
You can have a disclaimer. Would you like a disclaimer? Let me see if I can find Scott's disclaimer, and I'll just read it even though he's not here.
I love disclaimers. I think we should all have disclaimers.
I am not a lawyer. I said I am not a doctor. You know,
true.
He actually went to his lawyer. Mm-hmm. But part of the problem is that Scott actually owns Apple stock, which none of the rest of us do. So he went to his lawyer and
think about that. Nothing I say has to do with forward-looking stuff.
This is not a forward-looking statement. I'm trying to find his disclaimer. I don't pay much attention to it because I've lost it now. Wait a minute, here it is. Any or all of the contributors to TwitNetcast, their families, agents, heirs, or assigned may hold positions in securities registered to publicly traded companies mentioned on the Twit Network.
Member FDIC.
You're now off the hook. Erica, I thank you so much for joining us and giving us the straight story. And we've got to get you back. Anytime you're available, I'll send you an email. And when you can join us again, we really would appreciate having you on again.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
You can find Erica's blog at ericasadun.com, ericasadun.com. And, of course, she contributes an awful lot to the unofficial Apple weblog, which is a must read. Of course, if you don't read that, you're not really a Mac fanatic. TUAW.com. And she has a blog there as well. Thank you, Erica. All right. Bye. I guess she hung up on us. So, anyway, I guess I owe Apple an apology. I'm sorry, Apple. You didn't do it on purpose. It was just a side effect.
I still think that there was checking that could have been involved.
They could have. Yeah, they could have protected us. But you know what? They had no obligation to do so. And they did warn us, which they also had no obligation to do so. And they were very clear about that.
But by the time they warned you, you had already probably done the damage,
no,
right?
No. They did.
It was a week.
They gave, you know, news warnings. But the very first thing you see when you are going to do the firmware is a big disclaimer. The problem is nobody reads these. It kind of looks like the user license agreement, you know, and big disclaimer saying, don't do this if you hack the phone. And I was smart enough not to do it. And most people, I mean, you didn't, Andy, you didn't brick your phone.
I certainly did not.
But
there are limits to how high a fence that Apple can build. At some point, you realize that someone who's determined to get a really good close-up shot of the tiger at the zoo is going to try to get that close-up shot of the tiger at the zoo.
1.1.1 was an attractive nuisance, and there you go.
Yeah, like a pool with no fence around it.
No fence around it. Well, there was a fence, but it was too low.
Some kids are going to die. That's just what happens when you have a pool.
If you want to have a pool, things are going to go wrong.
That's why we have the pool scammer.
I think I missed the very beginning of the conversation. Is it possible to go back from 1.1.1 to 102?
Sort of is the answer.
Yeah.
As a 102 person, the question I have is my phone going to increase in value because some people want to hack it?
It's like a Series 1 TiVo. It's the ultimate hackable iPhone.
Because, I mean, right now on eBay, you can buy a 8 gig for like $485. You know, so it's selling for more than, I mean, that's bid. A whole bunch of bids.
Shoot. I gave away I had two hacked iPhones. I gave one to Amber and one to the lab, both of them in Canada. By the way, an interesting thing, the Rogers SIM did not work in the hacked iPhone. I should have asked Erica about that. No, I don't know if it was, I don't know what was going on. Sean's working on it, trying to figure that out. Hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, but in terms of eBay, I think that there are people who are going to bid on the phone anyway just to own it so they can smash it and say, ah, there, you whiner. Here, destroyed your hack phone. They should all be 1.1.1.
You want brick? I got brick.
Well, it sounds to me like it's going to be irrelevant to have an 11, have a 1.02 because it sounds as if they're going to be porting this stuff to 1.1.1 anyway.
Yeah.
Which thrills me because today, literally half hour before sitting down to record this, I got from Wiley, from my publisher, the very, very last thing I can possibly change about my iPhone book. It is the back cover. And believe me, the stuff about the applications, I'm changing stuff on the back cover to make sure.
Pay no attention to chapter 13. Read the back cover.
No. I was like, I was sitting there facing that blinking cursor because I had my final like 4 hours. I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to like sit in front of my scrying pool for 3 hours, clear my mind, and try to envision what the world would be like in 2 months and figure out how I can rewrite this so it'll all work. And I'm like, I bet that they're going to find a way to rewind it. I bet that there's going to be a way for 1.1.1. I bet if I simply include a link to these three websites, including the unofficial Apple weblog, it will say, here's how to do it. Like, yes!
Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Although, don't you think people, I certainly am not going to hack my phone. I think now the lesson, and we probably was something we should have said in the beginning, is like a beginning of all this hacking is, until they provide you with a way to completely reverse any changes you make to your phone, I would be very careful about applying these changes.
Well, I think that's why they did it. Part of the reason this update was so aggressive is they're really like taking dead iPhones and putting them on pikes in front of in front of Apple HQ and saying, okay,
see,
now we warned you once.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Well, I'm certainly not going to hack my unhacked iPhone. This is going to be a stock iPhone from now on.
Well, permit me to throw out something that's probably a little controversial, but just as a Bourne-esque point. I mean, for me, this would all be great if it worked and it was something that was easy to do. But I mean, I don't know. I guess for me, part of the reason, maybe this identifies me as the truest of sad Apple fanboys, but one reason I do like this stuff is that it doesn't require a lot of fiddling. And, you know, it's almost like it's a shame that they haven't done this. I think I was probably one of the first people out in front of this saying it's crazy that they don't put applications on here or, you know, have an SDK. But at the same time, gosh, I don't know. I think for the garden variety user, if you want to be able to tinker around with this kind of stuff, there's other platforms and other units that you can do this stuff with. And I don't know. I guess I just wonder, how much do you think this affects, you know, Joe garden variety iPhone user?
This is going to affect the average user. The first time that he needs access to a certain piece of software or a certain piece of information, but he can't access it because he's in an airplane or in a tunnel or otherwise disconnected from the internet, which for now is his only official lifeline to iPhone applications.
Yeah, but that's...
He's going to be saying to himself, why can't I simply copy a document onto my iPhone and be able to read it?
And again, not to be all Scott Bourne, but like it still does what it says on the tin, right? I mean, granted, with this last update, it sounds like they kind of ate the booger. But at the same time, your iPhone does what your iPhone is supposed to do. They're holding up their end of the bargain by delivering stuff that works. I guess I just wonder, you know, it seems like, you know, if you really want hackable stuff, there's hack things you can hack out there. Is it just the challenge of being able to do this? Or is this really like hardcore functionality where you just don't even want to use the iPhone if you can't use it?
I'll tell you what I did. I'm going to keep my iPhone. I'm not going to hack it. Not going to add third-party apps. And I bought a BlackBerry 8320 that is wide open, that I unlocked, and I can add any app I want. And that's what I'll be using for my internet access, for my browsing, for my email. Because
it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny that a brand new iPhone commercial I just saw last night during the ALCS or whatever was all about this guy saying, I used to carry a phone and a camera and a PDA and a sandwich, and now the iPhone is all those things. It's only one thing. And now we're talking about buying a second phone to cover up the inadequacies of the one phone that you really, really want to use.
Well, and that's kind of my this point, because it isn't all of those things, really. I mean, they haven't done that.
Damn shame.
It
can't be all those things.
Let me play that.
I had to carry
right
a little bag to carry everything around with me. I had the iPod, I had a camera, and I had a regular phone.
This guy's
and
from
a phone
Jersey.
I use for text messaging and emails and stuff like that.
Stuff
four
like
things.
That.
One thing. I want to get up, grab my wallet and my iPhone, and walk out of the house and jump in my car and go. I never forget my phone.
Yeah. Guy looks like doesn't look like the typical iPhone user. I wonder if he really is an actor. But
you mean he gets dates?
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of muscular.
I don't know. I guess I disagree, Andy, because I mean, like, I mean, on the one hand, I totally agree. I wish this were the mobile computer that it clearly wants to be. And I wish this were clearly the device that all of the Macintosh, or Mac, as we say, Mac users want it to be. I couldn't agree with that more. I guess I just don't get the part, though, about how it's not doing what Apple said it should do. You know?
Oh, no, it is. It's doing everything.
The big fear is always those 3 hours you spend in an airplane next to somebody with a different phone. What I worry about is that someone who's going to be a happy iPhone user is going to be sitting next to someone who has a Trio or has another phone and saying, gee, you're actually reading and writing Microsoft Word documents on your phone. How do you do that? Well, I just buy a third-party app. A third-party app on a phone? And suddenly, they were happy with what they had out of the box, but now they realize there's a larger world out there and things that they would like to be able to do that they don't understand why they can't do it.
But that's a failed business opportunity. It's not that they've misled you about what you were going to get.
I don't care about business opportunities. I care about users having the features that they actually are going to want to have, because this is not a disposable 2-week-old device. This is something you're going to have for a year or two.
I mean, I think the danger really for Apple, and I think that Apple, I don't think they misled anyone. I think it does exactly what it does, and I do think it's the best cell phone I've ever had, and I've had a lot of them, you know. And so I'm happy with the phone. The problem is that you can see so quickly, you can see the future about what you could do with this phone. That's the problem with other phones. I just had a very limited expectation of what they were actually capable of.
Really? Yeah.
And this phone, you can immediately see it. So there's this expectation that occurs whether Apple gives it to you or not.
Right.
That you have this expectation that I'm going to be able to do everything with this phone, and you could. And here's the part that hurts is that you could, you know, you could do it, except they won't let you. Now, I think that what I'm hoping to see down the road is that, you know, give me a tester in Xcode where I can prove to you that I can write, you know, so it's like a simulator in Xcode that's the iPhone, and I'll write code for it in Xcode, and then I'll upload it to Apple saying this is an application that I'd like to write, and they can test it or whatever, and then they bless it and they sell it through iTunes and they take 60% and they give me my money back. And the thing is it would be a good business model, you know, and people would make stuff for them. You know, there is rumors that they're going to, you know, that the SDK is quietly floating around among some developers. I mean, it doesn't sound like Apple wants to keep this closed for very long. It's just a question of whether they can allow people to make enough apps fast enough to keep people happy, because I think that a lot of us know immediately that we could turn it into something else. You know?
Well, also, provided they don't cross the AT&T line, which is, will they give us a chat client? No, because they want to drive us to SMS. So, as I said last week, the problem with Apple controlling this stuff is that there's going to be a line, you know, they're going to make this sandbox and say, okay, this is what you can have. And even though it would be really cool to have this, and I know you can get it on other phones, we're not going to let you have it because we haven't arranged with AT&T.
Well, and the danger for Apple is that now they've shown people, I mean, people have proven that they really, really enjoy this. They really love this phone. And now you've got, you know, some company in China that does the whole thing that feels and looks the same way, except it runs on Linux and it's wide open and people can add all the stuff. And I have to admit that if it ran and had that feature feel, although Apple has, you know, had 200 patents or something like that. But if it felt like, you know, it just felt fluid, you know, I'd be tempted, because there's lots of tools that I'd like to have with the phone that I carry around. You know, that are very specific and very, you know, idiosyncratic. You know, I want to be able to manage time code while doing shooting. And I want to be able to write a little app that does that, you know. And that's not something I expect Apple to bless anytime soon.
Yeah, well, I know that the people who accused us of being whiners last week would say, well, the iPhone's not for you then. And I think that's Merlin's point to an extent, that, like,
yeah,
they didn't lie about what they gave.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm feeling a little bit defensive because I don't want to paint myself as somebody who's not into having applications. Since literally the moment this was announced, my first thought was, this is going to be the ultimate mobile computer for our time. And that the idea of not allowing people, well, I mean, we're talking about a lot of different things here when it comes down to it. I mean, let's be honest. It's easy on the one hand to go, well, Apple screwed up because they didn't do this thing everybody wanted. But if we really break down what everybody's talking about, there's a lot of different conversations going on. There's one conversation that is very much about what I should get out of a company that I buy stuff from and what access I should have to the things that I get. There's another one that's a very practical component of saying, well, you know, I don't really care how it happens. All I know is I want time code on my phone. And then you've got, you know what I mean? I guess I'm saying there's a lot of different things that people are saying here. And the thing that I'm trying to say is that I think one thing that makes Apple good at this stuff, for better or for worse, is this Catholic approach, this Vatican approach that says, you know, here's the stuff that we're going to give you, and we feel pretty confident this is going to work well for people, and we're not going to mislead you. I hope that's the case about what this will do. I think they're crazy not to have the apps. I want to be super clear about that. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of devices. It's just that everybody's so emotionally attached to Apple as this brand and as this company that there's stuff that Apple's doing that people are being crazy critical about, which is certainly their prerogative. But there's a lot of companies out there that are doing tons douchier stuff.
It's our Apple that's doing it. That's all.
That's right.
It's not just that. It seems like I'm getting a sense of deja vu, only this is happening through a warped mirror image where, you know, Xerox had this wonderful computer called the Star. And they said, isn't it wonderful? It's a photocopier with a screen on it, so you could change the documents that you're photocopying. And then a guy named Steve Jobs said, that's an interesting idea, a photocopier with a screen on it. You sure that all it is a photocopier with a screen on it? Yes, it's a photocopier. Who would want anything more than a photocopier with a screen on it? I feel that someone's going to look at the iPhone and say, really? It's just an iPod and a telephone with a touch screen? Yeah, we have complete control over it. No one would want anything more than that. And right. They're going to get their butts...
Who
would do that? Don't be cynical. What company has the ability to create something that works as satisfyingly as an Apple product?
Well, I think you're going to see a lot of people try. It'll be interesting.
HTC, LG, Samsung.
HTC could.
If they simply said, hey, look, all you clever, really wonderful companies in California that do things almost nearly as good as the iPod, we can build you hardware.
It works with iTunes?
Well, can't it work with iTunes?
Well, there you go.
Does iTunes give me unlocked non-DRM'd content for 89 cents a song? No.
Well, there's this whole platform you should know about called Unix, where you can go out and do whatever the hell you want to do. The question is, and this is why I say let's fight fair.
All the Unix phones kind of stink.
Yes, they do. That's exactly right, Andy.
You can't couch it as a one or the other sort of situation. Right now, we are seeing more devices coming along that are not as flawless as the iPhone in execution, but damn it, they're good enough for most people. And once again, when you have these people who are having those airline row conversations with a phone that not as flashy, not as expensive, not as media friendly. In terms of like getting press and getting people to write about it as the iPhone, but dang it, it does this. It has that timecode software and it has that outliner. It has that cool software that the person wants, and all this software works on an airplane. You're going to have people who are not—they're not going to be angry with Apple, but they're going to not recommend it quite so strongly to other people, or maybe they're not going to make their next phone an iPhone.
Let me quote Eric Hesseldahl, who writes the Bite of the Apple column in Business Week, who makes this point. I think quite articulately, he says, the article is why I won't buy an iPhone. He says, even though I buy everything else from Apple, at the end, he talks about the real issue that we're all talking about. This is inconsistent with Apple. Wasn't Apple itself the creation of two guys in a garage with a knack for making interesting ideas into real things? So why punish the people who try to create something interesting, threatening them with the prospect of an inoperative phone? Apple insiders argue privately, the iPhone is a new device. In time, they say, maybe the development policy could change, although none say definitively that it ever will. Until it happens, the company that styles itself as a technology supplier of choice for creative people with great ideas is insisting that to own its products is to accept a defined orthodoxy where there's only one acceptable way to do things. Now, I think Apple's always said that, but he says that doesn't sound like the Apple I know, so I'm not going to buy an iPhone until Apple commits to changing this policy. I don't think you should either, he says. Isn't that kind of what we're saying, Merlin? You're right. I mean, I can't deny what you're saying, that Apple's giving us this phone. It's doing everything it said it would. Accept it or don't buy it. Use Apples want more and hope for more?
They do. And this is why I think I'm being a little bit mischaracterized here. What I'm trying to identify is there are certain movements in the world. I would say that being a vegetarian is one of them. In 1970, probably, it was really easy for everybody who was a vegetarian to say, hey, yay, vegetarianism. Well, today, being a vegetarian is very complex. Some people are doing it for health reasons. Some people are doing it for moral reasons. Some people are doing it for economic reasons. And those people don't agree on the exact reasons why you should be a vegetarian. They just all know that they're not happy with eating meat. And I think right now what you're seeing is a lot of people who are all pissed off about how the iPhone is put together for really different reasons.
Yes,
and I'm just trying to say, I don't think there's one answer to this. Because if you say to somebody, and you know, I don't want to be all sky is falling, but yeah, there is something to be said about keeping that experience working the way it does. I think it's a little bit facile to say that any company can come in and gobble up what Apple has done here simply by adding something like the ability to put applications.
I wasn't saying that, and I don't really care about market share. I don't really care about any of that sort of stuff. What I care about is that, again, users getting the best experience possible. And whereas a few months ago, my stock in the iPhone is a little bit down than what it was a few months ago, because mm-hmm. I really have to take into account what people's experience is going to be like with this device over the life of that product.
And you've seen the other side. You've seen the other side now. That's a huge part of it.
Well, right? I've seen lots of, I try to see all sides simultaneously.
Yeah, but you've seen third-party apps installed, is what
in my in my office right now, I have five different phone platforms. And right now, three months ago, I might have been willing to say, oh my God, the iPhone is just so head and shoulders over all these other phones. Now, all these other phones have better uses for specific purposes. BlackBerries are still the king of email. But now it's more like, well, if you want this, it's the iPhone. If you want this, it's a Symbian phone. If you want this, it's more of a Trio you're looking for.
Yeah. What about that new Verizon? Do you think that new Verizon is going to be competition?
This is the.
I'm not really sure. I like the fact that it is so it is so ecumenical when it comes to accepting media, that it has just a slot with a memory card in it. You put something on that card, put it in the mm-hmm. slot. It will play it if it understands that format. I have used it. I don't think that it is nearly as slick. An experience, so nothing's as slick an experience as an iPhone. I think it's an upgrade from most Windows mobile phones out there. I don't think it's a really terribly easy to use phone. But again, it does get past that is it good enough for most people hurdle.
I mean, even Steve Jobs understands that you don't keep your lead forever. I remember him saying, you know, we had a lead on Microsoft when in 84 when the Mac came out, but they caught up. And because we sat still, and I think that maybe it's going to take 10 years. I don't know, but I think that it's not going to, eventually somebody could come up with something just as good as the iPhone. Don't you? You think Apple's the only one that could design something like this?
Well, it's not just as good. I think the problem is Windows has never been just as good.
Right. Just close enough, I guess.
But the problem was that it became close enough fast enough and Apple wasn't moving. You know, Apple created here's what happened. I mean, in my opinion, you know, Apple created something and got a vision going in the 80s and then wasn't able to maintain the pace.
Right. Right.
And so the thing is that if they create this, they've opened up this whole new, you know, ball of wax.
Well, that's why you let the third party get involved. They can help you.
Well, that's the thing. And so the thing is that if they hang on to it too tightly, someone's going to create something that's not as good, but good enough to go past them.
This would also be an interesting point to insert my crazy obsession about the whole Apple Google thing. It would be interesting to postulate whether one reason that they hold off on turning this into, you know, the Oklahoma land run is because they could potentially be in negotiations with different companies. They don't want to put people off on, I mean, who knows what kind of stuff Apple's coming up with. I think one way to look at Apple is they're looking way beyond just the iPhone and the iPod and the Mac. I mean, I guess to a lot of people that's really obvious, but it's interesting that as fanboys or whatever you want to call us who are constantly looking back and trying to kind of read the tea leaves on what's happened so far, I think it's interesting to think about, like, what if things were going to get really, really crazy? And what if they were really trying to upend the entire platform idea of how business works, which I think is one.
This is sort of a point that I made in my Sun-Times column last week, where the problem for me is not so much that they're doing things that have the side effect of shutting down third-party apps. My biggest problem is that they're doing things that shut down third-party apps, and they're not saying, I know we're costing people this, but we have plans in place right now. We can't tell you when they're going to come up, but believe me, third-party apps
are
coming. That's why I called. I mean, I got some email because I referred to the iPhone as the Lindsay Lohan of technology, where, you know, great start. It's through bad management. She's starting to, you know, take a hit in the, take some hits, but it's still very, very much recoverable. But again, all the problem, I think most of the problems that Apple is having with public opinion or public impressions of the iPhone can be corrected if they simply said, look, we're going to send some high ranking Apple guy out. We're going to put him in a nice sweater. We're going to have him, you know, talk to Charlie Rose and explain all this sort of stuff. I mean, again, my qualms about what Apple's doing with the iPhone would be completely set aside if they said, look, we've got a software development kit. We're working on it. It's just that we know we're doing something kind of special here that could break a lot of things if we don't do this carefully. So,
but I think that's as likely to happen as Steve Jobs sitting down and having a prime rib, because Apple just doesn't do that. You know, they don't talk about what they're going to be doing. My concern is which model they're using. And if they're using the iPod model, yes, it's become a wonderful device and it was pretty good to start with, but it's locked down. There's not a lot you can do with it. It really is. You're going to work within our ecosystem and that's it. I would like to see it open up to SDK, open up the SDK. And it could be that this is, we're just way too early on all this stuff. And
It's not even Christmas yet. That's the, right. That's another thing to think about is what would Apple have to gain by calling a press conference tomorrow morning and saying, okay, yeah, we'll open it up to apps. I mean, they're famous for keeping stuff in their pocket. And it wouldn't surprise me, I'll pull this out of my butt, it would not surprise me at all if we heard basically radio silence on this until after Christmas. And then what, say Macworld, we start seeing, okay, well, here's an SDK, and by the time of WWDC, we expect to see applications coming out. That would not surprise me at all.
Well, it really would be to their benefit because there are admins who have to make their plans 3, 6 months, 12 months in advance, mm-hmm. that oftentimes the difference between them approving this device for their corporation's use and not approving it is knowing that at some point they'll will be able to roll their own apps or they will be able to get this sort of data on the device.
I should point out, by the way, that John Gruber, John C. Welch, and even the Macalope have all taken this to task. The Macalope most eloquently when he said, we keep expecting Reese's peanut butter cups when we were given Hershey bars. And let me say this right now. I got to find the exact quote. He says basically just exactly what you said, Merlin, which is, look, Apple's given you what they promised. What's the difference? What's the problem? We want something more.
And John suggested that you wanted a cow that created cheese. Was that?
Well, that's because of that analogy. Yes.
I love that. I love
killed
that
my
metaphor.
Cow analogy, which is probably way overburdened. He says the Macalope's just a little baffled as to why Chris and Leo, after being told repeatedly that they would be given Hershey bars, keep expecting Reese's peanut butter cups to fall out of the wrapper.
Well, because they gave us, I mean, with the third-party apps, we actually had those Reese's peanut butter cups, and we pasted them, and they were really, really...
They accidentally opened the pantry while we were there, and we saw...
It's more like Apple saw how much we liked the Reese's cups and suddenly made it impossible to combine chocolate and peanut butter, which seems kind of arbitrary.
I will give the Macalope credit, though, for using the term to describe me as the bouffant of knowledge. And I'm going to put that on a business card. I thought that was brilliant.
And we'll get to that. It is really good. You do have a little bit poofy hair. I just want to say that, Chris.
Right? Yeah, everybody knows that.
Do you comb it that way? Or?
No, it's just the way my head is shaped. My head would look more if I had no hair at all.
He's very wisely linked to a picture of you at the a Geek Cruise just so people know what he's talking about.
Yeah, thanks.
Which is interesting that he has this picture. I'm wondering if maybe he was on one of these Geek Cruises and just didn't reveal himself. We will have the Macalope on next week. So if you will have us, Macalope. But there was a lot of really good discussion about this subject. And I think it was pretty healthy for the Mac community, however, whatever side you came down on. And it showed that we're not just fanboys who sit back and say, do it to me, Mac. There's another great one. Let me see if I can find. Look, there's a reason Macalope tends to buy Apple equipment, and it's not because the company ties him up and puts a red rubber ball in his mouth. Let's leave that to Mrs. Macalope, shall we? It's because their stuff works and looks better than other stuff. If someone wants to make stuff that looks and works better than Apple stuff, well, the Macalope might have to have some plastic surgery, but he'll be happy to use it.
Just to make nice with everybody, it's the ultimate first world problem for Apple, because what this says, we've talked about this, Leo, before. You remember talking about Brent, your former biggest fan?
Yeah.
What this says to me is that this is an audience that's incredibly engaged and attached emotionally. And this is a conversation that Apple needed to hear. If nothing else, they're getting so much publicity, even if it's people who are all angry. Yeah, right. They're going to go out and buy what, like Vista tomorrow. So, you know, I mean, these are people who are telling them an unvarnished version of what they require from Apple. And boy, that's the kind of thing you're never going to buy focus groups to give you this kind of unvarnished opinion.
Agree. This is exactly what you'd hope for if you're a company that deals with consumers. Listen to your consumers. They're saying something to you. All right, let's move along. As long as we're unhappy and disappointed, how about?
No, I'm happy now. No more hate mail, please. I love whatever Apple does from now on.
You know, it's really came down the line. You know, the Apple fanboys were mad at us for not being such fanboys, and then there were a lot of Windows people who had other reasons to
No, exactly. I thought it was so funny because this is the first time I've sort of crossed the fanboys, and I got a very interesting collection of email. On the one side were the fanboys who were just furious that I would dare knock Apple for this stuff. And on the other side, I was sent laundry lists of complaints people had had about Apple forever. Right. And, you know, some of them said,
now that
well,
you're
your complaints
in
are so tiny. Yeah, now I was
in
that club.
Well, and the first thing fanboys do, of course, is accuse you of being a fanboy. The minute you criticize their personal religion, you're a fanboy on the other side. So it's a very interesting experience. Let's talk about Leopard, because this is supposed to be Leopard Month. Both Think Secret and Apple rumors are saying, for reasons they haven't made clear, September or October 26th is going to be the day. Anybody have inside information?
I don't have any inside information. It sounded like I was talking to...
Unlike John C. Dvorak, I honor my NDAs.
Oh, you know something? Do you know something?
No. Who said that? Was that Patrick?
I think it was Patrick. Ever. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I don't sign NDAs so that I actually don't have to know anything. It's my
I got nothing.
Nothing, huh?
No, I mean, I had a bit of, I think I talked to you about a little, Leo, but I had kind of a horror story with my little Macintosh last week. And so I spent a lot of time in the Apple store, and they seemed pretty sure that they were going to get it by the end of the month.
Well, they've said the end of the month. I mean, they've never said anything but the end of the month. So
I think they're going to be as close to the end of the month as possible.
That means Halloween, right?
I don't think it's going to be fully cooked.
You know, I think they're going to want to avoid that Halloween trick or treat.
What's in the box? Put your hand inside.
Hey, wait a minute. This is just full of rocks. There's no one
here. I pre-ordered it. I'm ready. I mean, you know, again, you know, no matter what I say about the iPhone, is the minute it comes out, I'll be in line. Macalope says we're asking too much of it. He also criticizes you, Chris Bouffant-Breen, for... Chris,
why is this suddenly turned into gang up on Chris Breen?
No, we
day?
Love Chris Breen. It's just, it's the Macalope.
We've all been compiling a list of complaints about Chris forever, and now they're all coming out.
Mostly we envy his lush head of hair.
We do, exactly. So Bouffant of knowledge.
Yes.
He says that both you and I last episode, I think, were saying Leopard ought to be something good. People are really expecting quite a bit of it. And he says, you don't have to expect so much. Why do you want so much?
Yeah, I saw that comment. I think it was a little bit out of context. I think that particularly I was talking about some of the things that we've seen in the publicly available knowledge, where we're seeing some interface stuff that's just a little odd. The whole reflective dock thing, you put it on the right or left side and the dock analogy disappears. Translucent menu bar is kind of strange. And the flat gray folder, so I think... partly what I was speaking about was Leopard coming out and people looking at sort of the physical, its visage and say, oh, is this the best we could come up with for all this time?
Right, right. Well, and I'm wondering, sometimes you do eye candy if you don't have anything more substantive under the hood, you know, like Vista did, for instance. Yeah. So I'm wondering if, let's ask the question that Macalope's posing. You know, this has only been 2 years since Tiger came out. Do we really need a major update? Is this just going to be, I mean, why are we asking too much of Leopard? Are we hoping for too much? Will we be disappointed when it comes out?
Isn't it true that they tend to sort of alternate the really, really big updates that are designed to make the users go wild and really, really, and the ones that have updates that are more subtle, things that developers can take advantage of to make the next generation of really, really good software.
It does seem to be
Exactly. I really think that Leopard is more of a developer's update. There's some things that I really, really like about it for users. I mean, Coverflow, I kind of laughed at it when I first saw it in the Finder, but dang it, I use it all the time. It's wonderful.
It'll be nice to have that as a document preview capability.
Exactly. I mean, I'm just like everybody else. I'm a total idiot. I don't really organize things into folders. I just simply say, oh, a folder marked pictures 0141, say project 3. Okie dokie, it could be any one of these 800 documents, but with Leopard, it's like, okay, oh yes, there it is, cool. I'll read it. Oh, that's not it. Move over.
I think
forward.
That's what a computer should do. That's the Google model versus the Yahoo model. I think that's exactly the idea.
Yeah, I think that if it disappoints people, it's only because it doesn't go as far as maybe people might hope. I'm still hoping for an operating system that can simply, either through voice or even through a text box, allow me to say, show me the Sun-Times column that I wrote 3 days ago, and simply say, oh, you must mean this one, because there's only one that matches all those parameters. I can understand English. Here.
I think you want Quicksilver with the neural implant plugin.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm waiting for. Guy, go ahead. You want what?
I was making a wise ass comment.
One thing I'll be curious about is whether I can do a raw install on my laptop.
Well, okay, let's raise this issue because this is what happened for Alex. His laptop, he put a new hard drive in. He had disks from a different Mac laptop. Wasn't able to install them on that other one.
Not only that, so I want to put a 250 gig drive in, which I did, which was great. I didn't do it. I did the first one. I ruined my laptop. That was my last laptop, and so I just took it to the PowerBook guy, and he swapped my hard drive, and then I took it back, and I said, I don't want you to put anything on it because I just want to put everything back on. I want a super clean install, you know, and I had checked my disks before I gave it to him to make sure I had them. So it says MacBook Pro, and so I put it in, and of course it says you can't install from this disk. You know, you know this isn't the right. This one is incompatible, and so I was like, okay. And I looked around, and I turned out, I guess for whatever reason, I couldn't find any. You know, I went over to the Apple Store and just bought a new. I figured a new version of OS X will be good enough.
And this is where the surprise happens.
And I put in a brand new version of OS X, and that I bought for $130, which of course I can't return, and because of software. And I put it in, and of course it won't work either. It can't.
What
use
does it
so
say?
Then I call. It just says this hardware is incompatible with this operating system. You know, just boom. It just immediate. You know, as soon as you boot up into the CD mode and get ready to do the install, it'll do the check in. It says immediately just comes back and says it can't do it. So I call AppleCare. You know, in India or whatever, and they make it clear that you can't do that. You're going to have to. So I pay another $40, and I assume I've been traveling, so I don't know if it actually showed up or not. But I assume that the disks when I get home will be there. You know, and then I'll be able to now have the software that I need to actually run it. Now it turns out, I talked to some folks that are a little bit into hacking, and they said that there's this is the part that really is frustrating, is they said that if you dupe the disks and then go in and look, there's a package that actually looks for what version it's installing on. And if it's a laptop, it won't, if it's, it could be two different laptops released in the same week of the same type. And it's very, very specific about whether it's a black MacBook or a white MacBook or a MacBook Pro. And it has to come with those disks. And if you don't have that, it won't install. Now, if it turns out, if you take that package and you delete it, I've been told that it'll just install on anything. It's a universal install.
So here's the question.
There's nothing different about the operating system. That's what's frustrating. There's nothing different about the operating system. It's another iPhone thing
It's a form of copy protection. Here's the question. I'm surprised that the shrink wrap box didn't work, though. And what will happen when Leopard comes along? Will we be forced to do an upgrade instead of a wipe the disk and install?
Well, that's going to be the big question, which I'll be able to tell you soon enough.
Of us will. I mean, I'm planning
a. Well, a lot of people don't notice this because what they do is they do what's called a clean install, but that's not really. I mean, it's when I'm talking about clean install, I'm talking about
format and install
a blank drive.
Yeah,
then build up from scratch.
Well, that's what I've always recommended, frankly.
Right. Yeah. So it's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the it's another one of those things that you know, in my head, it was just like, what are people thinking? I mean, I know what they're thinking. They're thinking that they're going to, keep people from copying, I guess, the disks from one friend to another. But,
for a shrink wrap one not to work, that sounds kind of like something like almost like it needs to be blessed or something. Like some bit needs to be flipped on the drive.
Yeah, because I've installed shrink wrapped clean on
a laptop.
Yeah, pretty
on
sure.
A MacBook Pro.
Not on that recent of a laptop.
Right.
No.
Right. I have two. I've done it before.
But that's how I put Tiger on all my old Panther machines. I always do a format install. Although, I mean, the what is it? Save and upgrade. What is the one where they copy it over to the old? That one's perfectly fine, I guess, but
I think that's what most people do, and I'm assuming that that would work. It's just that, that's not what I want. I mean, what I had sitting there was a blank drive, and what I wanted to put on it was OS X.
Well, maybe somebody can clarify that knows why this happened. At least you didn't have your pants set on fire by your Nano.
Were there pictures? I didn't see any pictures.
I want pictures.
I've seen a picture of the Nana.
pictures of it didn't happen. Remember, that's the dig
yep,
thing.
Yep. You know? An Atlanta man says his iPod Nano caught fire in his pants. 2-year-old iPod. He was, oddly enough, at the airport where he is employed. Now, that's got to be a little scary.
Is that a burning bomb around on fire at the airport? Yeah. That would be very.
Is that a bomb in your pants? No, I don't
know. Was he hurt badly? Didn't really talk about
apparently,
a lot.
Apparently, get this. Glossy paper in his pocket may have shielded him from getting burned by the fire.
Ooh. Interesting.
So carry more glossy paper.
Mm-hmm. What I want to know is what song was playing at the time, because that would be a number one download.
It's got to be James Brown. Yeah.
Good God.
Hot pants.
Pants. Get fire, baby. Pants.
Oh, I get it. Hot pants.
Hot pants, right.
I get it.
Or Hendrix's Fire. It could have been that.
Yeah. I'm widening in your car. I'm sitting in your pants. Turn on the Nano when we kiss. Ooh.
So what's the follow-up on that? What the hell
fire,
happened?
Well, I think they're trying to drive upgrades for these things, really. It was a 2-year-old Nano. And so they say,
that's the story.
Come on. It's about time.
Actually, sir, if you'd read the EULA, you would understand that there's a small clause that will cause your pants to be on fire in 2 years.
My theory is that the Impossible Missions Force has switched to distributing their instructions via podcast now.
this Nano will self-destruct. Hey, you know, what did he use in MI3? Didn't he have like something like that? It was an iPhone that burst into flames or something? We want to thank Jay Lanners, by the way, for submitting this suggestion. A couch created out of old Apple Mac 2 computers.
Ooh.
So this goes right with that backpack out of the...
Yeah, I don't know if you guys heard about this. There's a guy who made a backpack out of an SE.
In this case, we have pictures.
Picks inside.
It's 20 Macintosh 2 computers. A guy had them lying around at a Mac store. They turned it into a, I think, probably got to be a fairly firm couch.
I think he just doesn't like overnight guests. Sure, you can sleep on my couch. Sure.
It's in the store. You can actually see it in the store, which is, I think, a really great idea. Think about it, though, and they point this out in the website where they talk about it. These were very expensive. These Mac 2s were $5,000 each. So he's got a $100,000 couch there.
Oh,
isn't it good furniture doesn't depreciate faster than computers?
Well, the cushions will certainly never get mushy. You can...
That looks really, really uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's pretty hard.
And it's a lot of computers. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's 22 Apple 2s. All right, let's get our... unless anybody has other stories that they would like to talk about. I want to thank you, by the way, Merlin, for spanning sync. It's been... I just love the fact that I can use Google Calendar now and have it automatically synced to my iCal. That was a great pick.
Yeah, I'm glad that's working for you. Yeah, really, I have to say, ever since I've switched over, I don't open iCal so much anymore. I do pretty much everything.
It's all on Google Calendar, huh?
But yeah, then it gets synced up to my phone and, you know, wow. Life is good.
Wow. Well, it works nicely with my BlackBerry, too, I want to say. Just want to point that out.
Nice.
Nice. So let's get to our... Well, actually, before we do picks, I do want to mention our good friends at... No, you know what? I'm not going to mention them.
Well, they're
no longer your good friends or what?
No, they're still my good friends, but I'm just thinking...
They know why.
They know why. They know why.
They know how to put this right, but they're just too stubborn. Well, Leo can be just as stubborn.
I'll show you.
Go kick their butts, Leo. Your real friends support you in this.
You know, the real issue is we have a contract, but it's unclear on how many episodes it's supposed to be in. And so I don't want to over deliver.
Well, let's do it, but really half-ass it.
Okay, so you know, okay,
get the URL wrong. About this dude who has a car, and he drives a car to like this state where there's this restaurant. And he meets this other guy. It's an awesome story. Plus, the guy who reads it, he was in that movie like last year with the thing. And man, it's awesome. You should definitely go get this.
Dude, he's that English guy that was in that other movie.
Yeah, was he English?
Yeah, with the wizard.
Talk that way. Hey, you do have a book, actually. Do you want to mention a book? Because I think you saved this from last week, Andy.
Yeah, just because this is one of those things where I was enjoying the paper book so much that I needed to multitask my way through it. It's a classic, one of the great American novels called All the King's Men.
Ooh,
it's
one of those. I haven't read that in ages. I'd love to read that again.
It's one of those books that either you read it years ago or you heard about it, but you know the title, but you haven't really done anything.
Is it all of Robert Penn Warren? Who wrote that?
Robert Penn Warren. It is the classic tale of American government.
Isn't it like a fake Huey Long?
Exactly. It's loosely based on the career of Huey Long, of someone who starts off as sort of an idealistic person who gets into politics and finds himself corrupted both from within and from without to become this huge titanic political figure. But one of the greatest things about this book, especially as an audiobook, is that it's a first person book. It's not written from the point of view of this political figure. It's the story that's being told by his press advisor. So when you're in the car or when you're taking a walk and you hear this voice that's simply telling you this story, it feels so much more intimate. And on top of everything else, it's just one of the most intricate and compelling stories I have read. It's you sit with a book. I was sitting down at like 7 o'clock, said, well, I need to get going on work at 8 or something, but I'll read a little bit. And then it's like 10 o'clock, and I'm like, oh,
I look for books. One of the reasons I love doing these book recommendations is because if you find a book like that, I mean, that is a gift to give somebody.
You become an evangelist.
Yeah. I just bought it. That's now on my, it's going to be on my iPod in an hour. Thank you for the suggestion. And let's give them the plug. audible.com/MacBreak. You can get a free book by going there. Could be this book. In fact, it should be this book. It sounds like it's one credit.
You went more than halfway, Leo.
I did.
You did what you needed to.
You've got a big heart, Leo. A big heart. Everybody should have a friend like you, Leo.
I don't want people to think there's any problem with Audible. We love Audible. There's no problem at all. I better not start downloading all the Kingsmen. Whoa. This is a 20-hour book. Holy cow. I better pause that. Skype will just go.
You are getting all the Kingsmen, not just some of them. But
you get every one of the Kingsmen. But anyway, audible.com/MacBreak. Still get your free chapter at audible.com/free chapter of the Chopin manuscript. And whether or not they're supporting this podcast, we thank them for their support.
We still support Audible with our
consumer support
dollars.
Them. If no, it's just that we overproduced last time, and I don't want to. Anyway, it's.
I heard a really good Huey Long story. I don't know if this is true, but I was in a cab in, well, I guess Baton Rouge, and a few years ago, and the cab driver said, "Hey, you see that big stadium over there?" He's like, "Huey Long, like he really wanted to build the new stadium for the football team." And the only money that was available was like, it was for a college football team. The only money that was available was dorm money. So basically he built dorms on the first floor of the stadium and used the rest of the money to build a stadium. So awesome.
That's the kingfish we're talking. We need politicians like that nowadays.
He knew how to get stuff done. He knew how to, bring it to the people.
He was beloved. Anyway.
He was kind of like a Louisiana Stalin in some ways.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
But the trains were on time.
I would put that bumper sticker on my car. vote for Thomas Menino. He's the Stalin of Boston.
Sometimes you need a Stalin to get things done. Merlin, man, you have a software pick for us today? Merlin, your last pick.
You're going to make me cry. my pick, I'm pretty sure I've done this before, this app, but I'm going to say it again because I like it a lot and because I have a tip related, and that's speed download. And if you do anything with downloading stuff from the internet, speed download makes that a lot easier. It's a for pay app, but what it does is it gives you a plugin that integrates it with whatever browser you're using, such that if you go to a page and you start to download something like a zip file or a movie or what have you, you can configure speed download to then take over the downloading of that, which sounds like you wouldn't really need it. Except it's great at resumable downloads, which Safari is not so great at. And it also can also open up multiple connections. So you can do things like say, which is, you want to make sure you're doing this on a server that can handle it. But for example, if you're downloading, from a really robust site, you can open 10 or 15 different threads and download multiple things at once. It's really smart. But the reason I'm mentioning it today is something I can't believe I never knew it did until now, and I'm loving. I'm a big fan of, occasionally browsing MP3 blogs where people will put up, like somebody just put up this amazing Ramones concert from 1979.
Oh, wow.
I don't have the link here. Really good live show, New Year's Eve, 1979. And so, of course, it's hosted on one of those squirrely services, free services. And it's a big old, list of MP3s. You can tell speed download, go to this URL and download everything on this page that links to the following media type. And so you can go in and say, basically, go download everything on this page that's an MP3 and put it in this folder.
Wow.
In my downloads folder. This sounds really trivial unless you do this all the time. My downloads folder was a mess before I started doing this. And now it's a lot easier. And so it's just a really great app. I don't know. I think it's in like the typical kind of $30 range. It's Yazsoft, Y-A-Z-S-O-F-T, I believe, .com. And I like it a lot. I think if you're going to be serious about downloading stuff, it's nice to have an app like this. You can schedule things. So you can say, do my downloading overnight. You can do things like say, this server, this particular domain is a sensitive server. Don't bang on it too hard. It remembers authentication. Great app. Speed download for Yazsoft.com.
Very, very good. Let's see here. Next on the list in alphabetical order, Alex Lindsay.
So my pick is actually, most people already have it. They just don't know that they have it. I was talking to someone about wanting to get into, I was fiddling with some coding, and they were like, well, I don't know how to get into coding on a Mac. You know, and I realized that a lot of people don't know that when they get their operating system. So this is a free one. But when you get your operating system disk, hidden on there is Xcode. Mm-hmm. And Xcode is a fully featured, I mean, it is what people are writing all these new software.
Yeah.
You know, so you have this incredible programming environment that is sitting, that comes with your operating system. You know, and so it is something that you have to choose to install it. And you have to, it's not something that's just automatically on your computer. But if you know, it's worth going back and, you know, getting those disks. And now we're hoping to do some stuff in the near future that'll make it more fun for you to get started. You know, that's something we're kind of playing with.
Oh, but, really? Like training stuff?
We're going to start. We're working right now on a new podcast just for people who want to develop stuff.
Oh, great.
So not just
Mac
Xcode,
tech, but something in addition to that.
Yeah, no, it's another Mac Break show, but and it's probably another month away. But it's what it is it's really dealing with whether it's. Playing with Xcode or Automator or AppleScript or, you know, things that people who want to get, you know, geeky about it.
Good.
And we just feel like that's a niche area. MacBreak Tech was a lot more listened to than we expected. It was kind of like something we had some fun with. And so what we want to do is there's a lot of people that just don't know where to start. And so we're going to kind of play with that. But but as we start to get ready for that, and as I started talking about it, I suddenly realized that a lot of people didn't even know that Xcode came with their computer, and they thought that it was something else they'd have to go get.
Also, when you install those tools, it creates a directory at the root called developer that you may not even know is there. And there are so many great applications in there for stuff you'd never imagine you would need. And those are real handy.
Plist editor, and there's the great Quartz. The stuff
Plist editor is awesome.
Yeah, yeah. The Quartz stuff. Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. And so I highly suggest people go back and find their disks and throw that on and just start playing, especially just doing what Merlin said, just play with some of the apps that come with it.
Find your disks, wherever they may be.
Assuming that you can, you know, install on your
Mac. I'm assuming that the Xcode stuff will work. That's where I'm guessing. I'm guessing that the Xcode stuff will work, even though the operating system may not actually install. But
I'm going to actually throw mine in here. A couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a program that was allowing me to get aperture photos into Flickr very easily, just in the same way that I was able to do from iPhoto. And I couldn't remember the name. It is Picture Sync, Windows and Mac, and really useful, not just for Flickr, but for all of the photo sites. I mean, they have support a ton of them, and not just for... not Aperture, Lightroom, which is what I was using, but not just for Lightroom, but for a lot of other programs. You get iPhoto, Media Pro, Aperture, Lightroom, all of them. So it's a really useful little plugin. And then I've in the past used the great Flickr exporter, and I'm sure that's what probably Andy uses and most people do. And I noticed now that they support Lightroom. So I'm really want to actually give you both of them. There's Picture Sync, but there's also Flickr export, which I've been using for iPhoto for a long time. I'm sorry, not Lightroom, Aperture. They have Flickr Export for Aperture, both a free and a paid version. So these are both of these programs. This one's from Connected Flow. The other one, Picture Sync, is from picturesync.net. Are really handy plugins you add to your photo management software that makes it easy to get them onto a website. So what do you use, Andy? Because you put a lot of stuff up on Flickr.
I use either that Flickr plugin that you mentioned.
Flickr Export, yeah.
Flickr export, or believe it or not, I just do straight exports. The new Flickr uploader that's web-based is actually fairly good. Also, because I don't have that. Believe it or not, I have two other computers that I upload from that I don't have Flickr Exporter on. Oh. And the times when I'm uploading, I've sort of stopped doing the cheap thing where I force people to look at 100 photos that I've blasted up there. I try to like space them out. Okay, here are 8.
Right.
Tomorrow, here are 7 more. Right. So it's not quite so difficult. But yeah, Flickr, the first time I tried it to do it directly with Flickr and realized just how sophisticated, how...
It's not so bad. You're right.
I hate using this term, how Web 2.0-y it is. It's actually very, very nice.
You have some good pictures from your trip to New York, including stuff in water. Are you going to keep doing that CBS thing?
About once a month now, yep.
That's great. That's great.
It's really a lot of fun because they just let me do what I want to do. So.
So you've changed, man. You've really changed. It used to be about the music.
Now it's
about a bigger card, dude. see if you'll enjoy it sometime soon.
Chris Breen, what's your Mac pick?
My Mac pick was inspired by the release of Popcorn 3 from Roxio, because one of the things that Popcorn does is it incorporates a bunch of stuff from Toast Titanium 8. And one of those things is the TiVo To Go service, where you can get to a Series 2 TiVo and download content from it. The problem with Popcorn and Toast Titanium is that the versions that they download from TiVo are crippled. So they give you 320 by 240. They don't give you the full res version of it. So I looked back into the archives and I realized that TiVo Decode Manager still works. It's a free AppleScript Studio interface for the TiVo Decode program. And it essentially automates the process of downloading programs from your Series 2 TiVo, brings them right to your computer, and then it converts them. You can convert it. You can have them go into MPEG-2, or you can have it converted to MPEG-4 files, and then automatically dropped into your iTunes library. It's available at tdm.sourceforge.net. It's free. It's a little slow, but all this stuff is. Getting programming off the TiVo is not a fast way to go. There are other ways to do it, either the pay-for versions from Roxy, or you can certainly do it from a browser. But it's a very nice utility. Run it overnight, grab 3 or 4 programs from it, and next morning, your stuff's in iTunes.
That's cool. And that's
try having a direct TiVo. It's like having a Betamax.
Yeah, you can't do anything
with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. It's too bad, isn't it?
It is. That's that. See, though, this is how the man gets you. He shows you what you can do, and then you know,
takes it away. I'm loving my Apple TV. I use it all the time. I download shows, put them on there, and it works great. I'm sad that The Office isn't on iTunes, but it's still a great way to do it. Let's see. We've done, and did we do you, Andy? We just did you, Andy.
No, we did not.
Well, then it's Andy's turn. That's right. We were talking about pictures, but we didn't talk about a pick.
Yes. Excuse me. I'm just choking back on this rejection that you just handed me.
Hairball. That's because you're so rich and successful now. You're eating all those starchy foods.
Hairball.
Aren't I, though? Thank you for pointing that out, because it would make me look really, really like egotistical if I pointed that out.
You're so successful.
That's right. The CBS is taking me to New York City on a train.
Sorry, I was just burning a $100 bill, and some of the fumes got in my nose.
Don't worry, I'll stamp it out on this diamond ash tray. I don't even smoke. I just like this. I just like the incense smell. Okay, but actually, let's go with something that's actually a little bit cheaper, because we've all been talking about this really, really wonderful Panasonic HD camcorder that records on flash memory, and it really is a wonderful device. I've been referring to it as like the ultimate capture device, because it'll capture 5 megapixel photos. It's really high def video. It's really, really great, but it is like a $700-$900 thing. I came across another device, another solid state device in Panasonic's camcorder line, the Panasonic SDR-S10, which doesn't try to be the ultimate high def camcorder. It tries to be a version of the basic home camcorder that records onto SD cards. So feature number one, you can buy it for $270-$280. Feature number two, it does record onto SDHC cards. So you can get 4, 5, 6, 7 hours of video on each card, and you get the same advantage when you're editing, which is that you just pop this card into a card reader, and it takes like minutes for an hour's worth of video to land into iMovie. The files that it creates, if you're using the latest version of iMovie, it will import directly, no conversion necessary. It mounts as a standard USB device, so that if you're using a previous edition of iMovie, you just have to take those .mod video files and just change the name to .mov, and QuickTime will see him, and QuickTime will be able to deal with him. But it's so wonderful because it's about the size of a Trio. So I don't like camcorders because I'm kind of okay with looking like such a big tourist that I'm carrying like a big SLR around with me. I can't get my head around the concept of carrying this big camcorder with me, but this is small enough you can just toss it inside a pocket. The video quality, it's not as good as what you're going to get if you bought like an $800 conventional camcorder, but it's definitely within the range of quality that you'd get for a $300 or $400 camcorder. Mostly it's because the image chip is so small because it's such a compact thing. But on top of all those other benefits, it's completely weatherproof. You can't dunk it underwater, but if you're on a jet ski with your kids and it gets splashed, who cares? You can drop it 3 or 4 feet, no problem. Because again, the only moving part is the motor for the zoom. And believe me, the one of the great things about my job is that people are foolish enough to lend me things. So Panasonic. So I had absolutely no motivation to take good care of it, and I was first tentatively just dropping it on the carpeted floor of my office, and I was dropping on the wood floor. And by the time I was I actually showed it off last weekend,
juggling
on CBS, juggling it with and we're just sort of tossing it around. Right? Most people, they don't like to take out their camcorders in certain events because they don't want it to get lost, they don't want it to get damaged. If you're worried about a camcorder that you can hand off to your kids and say, yeah, why don't you take the camcorder and shoot some stuff? No problem. This is the darn near the most indestructible camcorder you can get for less than $1,000. And it's not less than $1,000. It's like $280. Right now on Amazon, you can get it for $285.
Wow.
I'm really happy with the quality. Again,
you prefer
I'm not
this
a video...
to the SD-1 that you had?
Excuse me?
You prefer this to the SD-1 you had?
I prefer it in the sense that it's smaller, it's more compact, and it's cheaper. I probably would not buy, again, that high-definition camcorder because I just don't have a need for an $800 camcorder.
Right.
However, for a $275 camcorder, especially one that's small enough that I'm actually liable to take it with me to San Francisco and on these cruises and on these places where, again, I'm not liable to really think that I would want to do that, but it's nice to have a decent camcorder with you. This definitely would be more useful to me personally than that HD camcorder.
Cool. Model number again is?
S, D as in David, R as in Reginald, S10.
SDR S10.
Yeah.
And that is it. Now, we didn't do the wines this week because I wanted to give you a chance to prepare for wines, but next week maybe we'll get some Mac wines back. We haven't wined in a while.
I got mine.
Wait until Leopard gets a real tool.
Well, plenty to whine about.
We'll have a two-parter.
I will. We could invite Gruber and Macalope together, and they could just whine about us. That would be good.
We can go out for waffles.
Maybe we'll do that. Well, Merlin, come back soon. I know this is probably your last Mac Break Weekly for a little while.
I'll be back. Don't worry about that. If you'll have me back, I will be back.
Oh, we'll have you back. Dude, it's your show. So we'll look for you soon. Good luck, and we'll let everybody know when the blessed event happens.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, born again. Merlin Mann is, of course, at 43folders.com. By the way, loving the redesign. In fact, I want to contact your designers because I think they're very good.
Yeah, the actual designing McDesign visual guy is pretty busy with other stuff, but I think he's crazy not to talk to people. But I also really want to recommend the guy who did the Drupal theme from the actual. I think I actually did you an email intro with him.
Yes,
It's his group called Rupal Theme. Turning that into hopefully having it not look too much like a Drupal site.
No, it's gorgeous.
Great.
Yeah.
But thank you. I appreciate that.
And very practical, very useful. I really like it.
And I should mention, I'm not one to pimp stuff too much. I finally updated fives today.
I see that.
A few new fives up. So there's, you can see the rejected Spice Girl person. Yeah.
Emotionally unavailable Spice.
Yeah.
That's number five. It's number 5ives.com. I've always loved fives. I'm glad to see that fives is back.
Also hoping that some congressmen and representatives will start a law firm so that someday there will be letterhead that says Dingle, Boehner, Sanchez, Frank, and Craig. It's fun to say Dingle, Boehner, Sanchez, Frank, and Craig.
There are five senators or representatives whom I wish would become partners in a law firm just for the letterhead. That, by the way, is one of the five. Merlin, thank you. 43folders.com and 5ives.com. Chris Breen is Mr. Mac911 at Mac World Magazine. I keep wanting to say Mac Week.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Ah, the good old days.
Ah, those good old days.
Yes. And any books you want to plug? You have so many. I don't know where to start.
Well, the iPhone Pocket Guide just came out. I'm working on the iPod and iTunes Pocket Guide that should be out next month, I think. Update for the new iPods. And that's enough.
I gave up writing books when I saw Chris Breen's books at the airport bookstore. I thought, that's it. It's over. I can't compete.
Yeah, except they don't put them in your pocket because they burst into flames.
No, actually, the glossy paper provides an excellent barrier to flaming nanos.
Talk to the
please know Chris Breen's books may cause you to have puffy hair.
He is the bouffant of knowledge. Ladies and gentlemen, Alex Lindsay from pixelcore.com. Thank you for being here, Alex. We are working on, can I mention that we're working on something for Macworld Expo?
Yes.
It's going to be.
We're still knocking out some of the details, but it could be pretty big.
We're pretty excited about that. And if you have occasion to go to Macworld Expo, or if you're thinking about going to Macworld Expo, do, because it's going to be.
You're going to want to plan on it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And you can meet the guy in the hat. Because you'll be there, right, Annie Anako?
I will be all over the place.
All right.
As a matter of fact, I've got a brand new game show that we're debuting.
Well, yay!
That took me about 20 seconds to come up with and 10 seconds to pitch and 5 seconds to accept. And now it's going to take me about 2 months to actually write it. But
implement. Good. That's fun. Well. That'll be fun. That'll be at Macworld, huh? That'll be great.
Yes.
Can't wait to see
that. That will be at Macworld.
And you can still catch him, of course, in the Chicago Sun-Times. And his website is www.cwob.com.
The colossal waste of bandwidth. My new website still continues to slouch towards Jerusalem to be born. I did decide on a name for it. That was the biggest problem.
The roughbeast.com? The roughbeast.com? What?
No, because I had a new name for it, the Andy Anatko's Celestial House of Binary, which just seemed like exactly the right sort of combination for pretentiousness and everything else. But then someone on the demo blog that's on the lift and I'm working on it. I have not hidden it from anybody. If you can figure out what the URL is, you're welcome to read it, so long as you realize that the bookmarks might not work and the RSS feed may not be stable for the next couple months. And someone pointed out to me, oh, well, you know that you're only one letter off from retaining CWOB. If you can find a W instead of that house. And so I downloaded a Scrabble dictionary like last night, and I was looking through all the W's. By the time that I got to a Maori religious word for spirituality, thinking, yes, the celestial wabai of it, I realized that, well, what if I just made it the celestial waste of bandwidth
there
instead?
Yeah, that was easy.
Oh, nice.
Instead of colossal, it's celestial, but it's still heavenly. It's still Andy.
It will be a waste of bandwidth. I promise this. See, again, I don't keep changing the feature set with updates. I will. Those of you who are relying on a product that has absolutely nothing that will benefit your life or personal goals, I will deliver that year in, year out, since 1995.
Don't you dare try to unlock it. God bless you, Andy Anako.
Oh, Merlin, by the way, before you do go, when you get you and your wife get a big bouquet in the hospital that doesn't have a name card on it, that one was for me.
Oh my God! So thank you, Andy. That is so nice. I appreciate.
Well,
that.
I didn't see. It isn't about me. I want you to just enjoy the display.
I don't know what to say. I wasn't expecting that at all. Thank you. Thank you so much. There's a lot of things I've been getting that didn't have cards. Are those all from you?
Only the good ones. The really expensive one. The tat. The cheap tat. Oh, that's not for me.
I promised myself I wasn't going to cry.
Little naughty dog. That peas vodka. No, that's not mine.
Another back break is broke.